Hello and welcome to Exploring Magnuson Park. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren, and I mentioned on the previous episode that we would be bringing back Solid Ground to talk about their food truck roundup on August 11th, but the interview has been rescheduled and will air August 10th. So for this episode, I am doing something a little different. I recently spoke with Elisa Law from Friends of Magnuson Park about all they do to preserve the history of Magnuson Park and educate the community about that history. One of their programs involves walking tours of Magnuson Park, where you'll explore the early days of Sand Point. You'll learn about how the indigenous people of the lake used the Sandpoint shoreline and how it came to be the site of Seattle's early aviation and naval development as you explore the historic district. For those who aren't able to make it to one of their in-person walking tours, they do have self-guided tours, which is what I will be taking you on today. For more information about Friends of Magnuson Park, including their walking tours, visit friendsofmagnusonpark.org. And before we get started with the walking tour, we'll learn about the early history of Sand Point and then the Sand Point Naval Air Station Historic District. So for some early history that comes from the Friends of Magnuson Park self-guided walking tour, for about 12,000 years, the indigenous people of the lake hunted and fished the wetland and old-growth cedar and Douglas fir forest at Sand Point, an area they called Fog. It was a fertile gathering place for cedar bark, wapato, camas, and snowberries, and cutthroat trout and steelhead were plentiful in the 30-acre lake that was once there. Their longhouses, traditional lodges, were just south of Sand Point at Wolf Bay in what is now the upscale Windermere neighborhood. In 1850, white settler Isaac Eby would be the first to document the beauty of Lake Washington's fertile shorelines. Shortly after, homesteaders logged the forest at Sand Point and began farming. And quote, within a few decades, steamboats plied the lake, locomotives crossing a nearby bluff spouted steam, and automobiles bumped along Sand Point's rough dirt roads. Homesteaders raised families at Sand Point, a shipyard built steamboats, and a brick manufacturing firm dug and fired clay. Eventually, all that disappeared to make way for the era of flight. End quote. And that is from Sand Point, the early years, 1850 to 1920, found on HistoryLink. First and foremost, Sand Point is significant because of its connection to Seattle's aviation history. In 1917, near the end of World War I, a group of Army airmen came to Seattle to sell Liberty Bonds. Because Seattle had no airport, they had to land on Jefferson Golf Course, an embarrassment for Seattle. A few years later, in 1920, King County opened Sand Point Airfield, Seattle's first municipal airport. The Sand Point Airfield saw some of the Boeing Company's earliest aircraft assembled on its turf, was the start and finish of the 1924 first around the world flight, and was kissed by Lindbergh's Spirit of St. Louis when he touched down in Seattle in 1927. After World War I, a movement began to build a naval air station at Sand Point, and King County began acquiring surrounding parcels. In 1926, 4 years after construction of the naval station had begun on leased land, King County gifted over 400 acres to the Navy, and Naval Air Station Seattle, the headquarters of the 13th Naval District, developed. Pilots were trained, aircraft tested, and torpedoes assembled here in preparation for the front lines of the war in the Pacific. Early on that fateful Sunday morning, December 7, 1941, Sand Point was the first to receive word of the surprise Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, another naval air station. The first 6 months of this war were very scary for Seattleites. Japanese submarines lurked offshore, and islands off Alaska were invaded. Along with Bremerton Shipyard and the Boeing Airplane Factory, Naval Air Station Seattle and Fort Lewis provided protection for the Northwest coast, and their combined efforts helped turn the tide of the war. Today, The landing strips, runways, taxiways, and associated structures have been removed, and Sandpoint is now home to United States Geological Survey Fisheries Research Facility to the south, the headquarters of the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration to the north, and Warren G. Magnuson Park, the second largest park in the city. The Sandpoint Naval Air Station Historic District, a National Historic Site designated in 2010, and Seattle's 8th Landmark Historic District, designated in 2011, comprises 90 acres of the 250-acre Magnuson Park. It includes 42 historic contributing resources, including aircraft hangars, administration and office buildings, a steam plant, firehouse, and several housing buildings. And now that we've heard some of the history of the park, let's head to the first of the 16 locations on the Friends of Magnuson Park self-guided walking tour. I am at the first stop here on the Friends of Magnuson Park self-guided walking tour, the Gatehouse from 1942. This was the then secured entrance to Naval Air Station Seattle. It's also where you will currently find the Space 101 studios. Built in 1942, the Gatehouse served as an obvious main entrance and security check for the Naval Air Station. Visitors checked in with Navy personnel before being allowed entry. The enclosed bridge spanning the entrance gave Navy personnel better views of approaching vehicles and pedestrians. On the south side of the Gatehouse is a door opening onto Sandpoint Way, which led to the Naval Recruiting Office. And right along with the Gatehouse is the second stop on the tour, and that is the first World Flight Monument from 1924. Designed by Victor Lewis, marks the first aerial circumnavigation of the Earth. In 1924, United States Army Air Corps pilots became the first to fly around the world. This wasn't easy. At that time, planes were made of wood and cloth and wire and carried only a small amount of fuel. The men flew west from Seattle in four Douglas cruisers, which were single-engine, two-seater biplanes, and returned to the city 176 days later. By the end of the journey, they had flown over 26,000 miles and had worn out 17 engines. Two of the planes crashed en route, but all of the men survived. For more information or to view the First World Flight Exhibition, visit the Friends of Magnuson Park webpage, which is friendsofmagnusonpark.org. And we are headed to the next stop on the tour. Next stop on the tour is Building 9 from 1929, then the Naval Air Station Seattle Navy Barracks, now Mercy Magnuson Park Affordable Housing. The finest example of colonial revival style in the historic district is Building 9, owned by Washington State Department of Commerce. The building is composed of a series of large pavilions connected by smaller links and is in red brick with white trim. The windows have decorative keystones of cast concrete, and the north and south wings have gabled dormers on the third floor. The historic naval barracks were renovated in 2017 to create 148 apartments, a clinic, and a daycare run by Mercy Housing. The affordable homes are rented to those earning less than 60% of the area median income. South of Building 9 is a series of residential buildings for base personnel based on rank and marital status. And off to the next building. We have come to the next two stops on the self-guided walking tour from Friends of Magnuson Park. The first is Married Officers' Quarters from 1939, then the Naval Air Station Seattle's Officers' Quarters, now Youth Care and Friends of Youth Group Homes. And I interviewed both of these organizations for previous episodes, so check out space101fm.org/exploringmagnusonpark to learn more about the incredible work that they do. So the Married Officers' Quarters, this two-story colonial revival-style house, is the southernmost of three similar buildings at the south end of the district. The trio lines the east side of 62nd Avenue Northeast, forming a slightly curving arc north to south.
Built in 1939 to house married commissioned officers, building 332, one of three similar houses, is typical of the style of residences popular at the time, Colonial Revival. This row of houses would have fit in a residential neighborhood. All military bases from earlier eras contained senior commissioned officers' quarters, which set them apart from more junior officers and enlisted personnel. Renovated in 2000, the building contains transitional housing for homeless youth, which is Youth Care Passages House. And right next to that is the next spot marked on the tour, the Holiday Tree, circa 1930. There are three trees within the district that are of particular importance to the history of the site and have been formally identified as historic landscape features to be preserved and maintained. One is this large Atlas cedar that is located at the southern end of 62nd Avenue Northeast to the southeast of Building 26 South. This tree serves as a counterpoint to the flagpole located at the north end of 62nd Avenue Northeast, directly in front of Building 25. It was designated as the Holiday Tree and decorated annually for Christmas when the base was operational. And we are on our way to our next stop. Still on 62nd Avenue Northeast, we come to the next building on our stop, which is Building 37 from 1941, then the Naval Air Station Seattle Recreation Building, now Magnuson Park Community Center. The recreation building was the hub of physical and social activity on the base. The huge gymnasium was home to competitive basketball games and social dances. There was a heavily stocked library and a 996-seat theater showing big-time movies and vaudeville special acts, musical presentations, and local stage productions. Softball, baseball, basketball, tennis, handball, golf, horseshoes, soccer, volleyball, and bowling were some of the sports played here, and in the swimming pool, thousands of sailors were instructed in swimming, life-saving, rope climbing, and abandoned ship procedures. Today, it serves as the Magnuson Park Community Center, which was recently renovated and reopened, and is also a designated safe place site for King County, where runaway and homeless youth under the age of 18 can get connected to services, a program run by Friends of Youth, a program that I featured on Exploring Magnuson Park, so make sure to check out previous episodes for that interview. And on to our next stop.
So send down your wings.
And we are at the next area for some locations on the self-guided walking tour, mostly on or directly off of Northeast 74th Street. The first building is Building 18 from 1936, then Naval Air Station Seattle Firehouse, and now it's currently unused. Built in 1936, Building 18 served as the Naval Air Station's firehouse, complete with quarters for the firemen to sleep in upstairs and a pole to slide down to the fire trucks. The tall tower was used to dry hoses, and the speakers on top of the tower broadcast the Navy calls to duty, including taps, which were heard throughout the neighborhood for many years until they went silent with the base closure. And directly across the street is our next building, which is Building 25 from 1937, then Naval Air Station Seattle Administrative Headquarters, now operated by the University of Washington. Built in 1937, Building 25 served as administrative headquarters for the Naval Air Station. In more recent years, it continued to house offices, a computer center, and telecommunications office. This Art Deco-style building has a 2- and 3-story main core and 1-story rear wings. Sited in the middle of the district along Northeast 74th Street, the building's main facade looks south down the corridor of 62nd Avenue Northeast. Cast stone forms Art Deco decorative motifs on the exterior, particularly on the south facade. Now the building is the University of Washington Center for Pediatric Dentistry. And right next to Building 25 is the Freedom Tree and Vietnam Memorial. This giant Atlas cedar is one of 3 protected trees in the historic district. The obelisk was erected in 1972 to honor personnel missing in action or prisoners of war from the Vietnam War era. The monument has a bronze plaque stating that it and the Atlas cedar tree, known as the Freedom Tree, were to honor, quote, the sons of Washington and all prisoners of war and missing in action, end quote. Approximately 1,800 service personnel are still missing and unaccounted for in the Vietnam War, with an additional 1,000 who were killed in action and whose bodies were never recovered. And we continue our tour at the next building. We're at our next building, Building 41, the old gas station built in 1939. Friends of Magnuson Park received a grant from the Seattle Department of Neighborhoods to create a series of murals that celebrate the history of flight at Sandpoint. They hired Magnuson Park artist Sandy Bricel Miller to design the panels and lead resident youth in the painting process. They partnered with Pacific Northwest Naval Air Museum on Whidbey Island to research each of the planes. And these murals are affixed to the outside of the windows of Building 41 to protect from future vandalism and acting as an open-air exhibition on the history of flight. Something my recent guest, Elisa Law, from Friends of Magnuson Park spoke about during our interview. So make sure to check that out to learn more about the murals and about the work that went into them. And on to the next stop. We are now at Building 30 on 63rd Avenue Northeast. The building is currently owned by the City of Seattle and contains offices for parks and recreation, as well as artist studios and the Magnuson Park Gallery. Built in 1939, design of Building 30 incorporated a hangar on the south facade with access from the airfield and offices, and an Art Deco style west facade. Other ornamentation includes original Art Deco light fixtures on the wall of the cast stone stairs at the west entrance. Building 30 housed an aircraft hangar and the Chief Officer's Administrative Headquarters. The old Officers Club remains virtually untouched with a war-ready room. And we're making our way to the next stop. We are now at Building 2, still on 63rd Avenue Northeast. Built in 1929, the Assembly and Repair Shop is the oldest extant structure in the district. It was part of the original 1927 development plan for the Naval Air Station. The original overhaul shop, as it was known, was built as a place to overhaul plane engines. An addition was constructed between 1939 and 1944. By 1944, the name had changed to Assembly and Repair Shop, known by base personnel as the A&R Hangar. Notice the Art Deco emblem over the south hangar doors. When Naval Air Station Seattle was notified of the bombing of Pearl Harbor, windows were blacked out and machine gunners placed on every rooftop of the base. Some of the highest windows on Building 2 are blacked out to this day. And with that, we have four stops left to go. We are now at Building 12, then the Naval Air Station Seattle Boiler Plant, now currently vacant. Built in 1930 with additions in 1942, the boiler plant served as the central steam plant for the Naval Air Station, providing the primary source of heat and hot water for barracks, administrative buildings, and other operations. It was also known as Central Heating Plant or Central Steam Plant. During World War II, bomb protection was added to the boiler plant, including sandbags and post-beam shield walls around the outside. And we continue with our tour at the next stop. The last three locations on our tour are in the same general area, coming north from the gatehouse. First up is Building 27, then the Naval Air Station Seattle Seaplane Hangar, now Arena Sports. Built in 1938 with WPA funds, this large seaplane hangar provided shelter for Navy seaplanes. It was sited near the Pontiac Bay at the north end of the Naval Air Station and to Building 2 for proximity to the plane assembly and repair facility. Plane tie-downs still remain embedded in the tarmac nearby. In more recent years, Building 27 has been used for aircraft repair, offices, and heavy equipment storage. In 2010, the hangar was renovated and now houses three indoor soccer fields and a 21,600 square foot health club. And catty corner to that is Building 20, then the Naval Air Station Seattle Torpedo Shop, now Magnuson Park Brewery. Built in 1937, Building 20 housed a torpedo shop for the Naval Air Station. In October 1943, Puget Sound ferries are used as targets for U.S. Navy torpedo bombers of Air Group 10 from Sandpoint Naval Air Station. The bombers practice low-level night attacks on shipping using radar. On February 17, 1944, these crews participated in two-day and one-night attack on the Japanese at Truk Lagoon in the Central Pacific Ocean. They used the techniques developed on Puget Sound to sink 37 enemy ships. Building 11 surrounds this former torpedo shop on three sides. And we are headed to the final stop on our tour. The last stop on our tour is Building 31, then used by Naval Air Station Seattle for their support boats, now owned and operated by Sail Sandpoint. In 1938, it was built to provide covered moorage for crash boats and other boats supporting Naval Air Station Seattle's seaplane operations. Later in its life, Building 31 supported the Navy's morale, welfare, and recreation as covered moorage for berthing private pleasure craft. Today, it is used by Sail Sandpoint as covered moorage for safety boats, storage, teaching space, and changing rooms. Sail Sandpoint is another organization featured on Exploring Magnuson Park, so make sure to check out that episode, and is another location designated as a safe place site in Magnuson Park. And with that, we conclude the Friends of Magnuson Park self-guided walking tour.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just fly starry-eyed. Once once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. Just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly away. I get you up there where the air is rarefied. We'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. You just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.
Thank you for listening to Exploring Magnuson Park, and thank you for joining me on this self-guided walking tour put together by Friends of Magnuson Park. To learn more about the Friends of Magnuson Park walking tours and all the other incredible work they're doing in the park, visit friendsofmagnusonpark.org. Some upcoming events happening in Magnuson Park: the Urban Craft Uprising Summer Show will take place at Hangar 30 on Saturday, July 29th and Sunday, July 30th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Featuring indoor and outdoor shopping, this will be a fun weekend for the whole family. Check out urbancraftuprising.com for more information. Also, Solid Ground, in collaboration with Northwest Marketplaces, will have their food truck roundup on Friday, August 11th from 4 to 8 p.m. at Hangar 30. This will be a night of music, games, and fun with over 10 local craft vendors, a beer garden, and delicious food from more than 7 local food trucks. For more information and to get your tickets in advance, visit solid-ground.org. And thank you to everyone who contributes to Space 101.1 FM. It's your donations that make this show and all of our programs possible. If you'd like to contribute, want to learn more about the station, or would like to listen online, visit space101fm.org. And make sure to tune into Space 101.1 FM for more of our amazing programs, including Bargain Bin Vinyl Hour, airing on Tuesdays from 8 to 9 p.m. Ever wonder what gems are hiding in the 99-cent bins at your local record shop? Dust off your hi-fi headphones and join Megan as she plays her latest finds. And don't forget to tune in on Thursdays at 2 p.m. for more Exploring Magnuson Park. Next week, we'll learn about Beavers Northwest, a nonprofit that works to increase acceptance and understanding of beavers to support healthier and more resilient ecosystems. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren. Have a wonderful day, and go Mariners!
Walking in my neighborhood, well, the sun is shining and it sure feels good. Walking in